Blog Talk Radio.
You are covered for the moon. Cover a new made born man, and nevermore you'll toil. You just leave this past.
You don't know where it goes. I'm Teresa Chase. Happy Thursday, everybody. And that was my little surprise shock from my guest, James Storms. James, welcome to the show.
That was quite a surprise.
It's
a great song. I love that song.
Yeah, but no, until I started doing research on you, I didn't know that you were a musician. And you sing and play very well.
No, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I picked it up when I was raised in music, mostly classical, because my parents didn't understand rock and roll, and it's before rock and roll really started taking a hold.
Mm-hmm.
But I started playing during the folk period when everybody grabbed a guitar, and I started playing. So I've been playing since I was about 13, 14 years old.
But like I said, I was surprised. I was looking for videos, and I found these, and I just went with it, and I am
good.
I'm a real writer, so I do not know how to do research.
Well, there you have it. You and Pasternak.
Well, yes. You are also a photographer, and we were talking before the show. You have combined two of your loves, which is photography and travel. And you are doing an adventure called Wanderlust.
Right, right. It started, it's been a couple of years in the making, and I finally kicked it off in July. In October. I was supposed to do it in July, but then I got roped into doing my son's first full-length play in Los Angeles. So I did that, and then the play closed, and I started the Wanderlust. Wanderlust is basically jumping on a Greyhound bus and photographing people on the bus as I'm going to an event somewhere. And this event where I was heading was in Billings, Montana, to shoot what they call the Nile Rodeo. So I spent 2.5 days on a bus photographing people, and I got to the rodeo and I filmed that for a week. And then I went around Montana photographing whatever I could find, and gold, you know, old ghost towns and people and interesting stuff. And then I got back on the bus and came back to Los Angeles. And that's the first leg of the trip, and that was the Wanderlust. So I have a lot of wonderful images from the journey, and it's really inspired me to go on to the next level, which is I'll do that one in July.
Yeah, you were going to be doing a showing at this spring, but you've decided to put it off because you want to do it right.
And yeah, I just, you know, everybody's said, you know, you have enough to do this. Why don't you do a gallery and stuff like that? But, you know, it's first of all, you have to find the right venue. You have to find the right gallery that wants to mm-hmm. display your work and that would stand behind it. But most of all, I think I want to get a really collective body of work, the images of, and new things that, you know, I just need more material, I think, to mm-hmm. really do it. And I produce my own images. I develop and print film. So it's very time consuming and very specific. So, you know, it takes a long time to throw up a show, and I want to have some thought behind it too. It's basically right. going to be on the American West.
But by developing it more, you're going also going to be producing a book.
Yeah. Well, the thing that really fascinates me is when you take a Greyhound bus, for example, to me, you have a chance to meet people, you have a chance to talk to people, you have a chance to hear their stories, and some of the stories are miraculous, some of the stories are sad, some are, you know. I met a woman, 84 years old, she was traveling on a Greyhound, just absolutely spectacular woman, just salt of the earth and very, very modest and born and raised in San Diego. And she was on her way to Helena, north of Helena in Montana, to see her grandchildren. And she spent 4 years up there, you know, watching her kids grow and their grandchildren. I mean, it was just very noble. She was an incredibly noble woman. And so that kind of inspires, you know, so what I want to do is do their stories and have, you know, photographs, the images of the people, and then have captions of something they may have said or some ideas or thoughts or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be I think it's going to be very provocative and say controversial too. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
One of the thing I noticed about your pictures is that they're not 2D. You have a tendency to reach in and find the essence of the person or whatever is you're focusing on. How do you do that and make it real?
I think being an actor for all these years is really what is remarkably helpful. When you're talking to somebody, of course, when you point a camera at somebody, there's always another layer of a personality that mm-hmm. looms up. And to be able to just kind of talk to them and get them relaxed is very important. And you just do it because you love doing it, and it's not work and it's not thought. And when you sense that, you know, there's kind of a resistance, you just, you know, you talk and you just kind of do it. And mm-hmm. sometimes, most of the time it works out, you know. And I've had one or two where it's, you know, you just can't get to first base, but that's okay. That's mm-hmm. part of the process. So, but it's, I think acting has helped enormously with the ability to photograph people.
Let's bridge that over to your acting life, which you've been in front of the cameras for almost 60 years, and that is amazing.
Yeah, I'm still surviving. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, people who have actual talent survive.
Yeah.
And I've noticed so many of the so-called celebrities are flashes in the pan because they base their celebrity on bad behavior instead of talent.
Well, yeah, it's any kind of PR is good PR, and most of them get bad PR, so they, you know, you stay in the tabloids and all of that stuff. I don't know. It's not a sensibility that I'm, you know, I'm even, people that I've worked with, name people, they've always been very, very professional, and I just finished a film with Mike Mattson, you know, he was it's just remarkable, just wonderful. You know, I'd heard a lot of bad boy stories about him. I'm sure they're true. You know, the fame is hard to deal with. It's very hard to deal with. And, you know, people get hurt by it. And, you know, so it was wonderful working with him and watching him. He's very conscientious. He's extremely professional. and is there. He's right there doing the work, and that's what's important. So, you know, there's that element too. But I've also worked with younger people who are just don't have a clue to professionalism or what this is about. They're looking for the red carpet experience, and they'll get it, and they'll be selling car insurance in another couple of years. So, you know, that's the way it is.
The entertainment industry is not for sissies. It's hard.
No, it's not for the weak of heart. It is not for the weak of heart. On all of us, writers, directors, producers. I mean, I know so many people who are just mega talented filmmakers, you know, who struggle every day. So, you know.
But it's the idea that it is hard work, and it's not just getting dressed up and walking red carpets. You know, it's, you know, working out in the cold. It's, you know, 12 to, you know, 16-hour work days sometimes.
Oh, sure, sure.
And
sleeping in the back of cars.
Yeah. What would you, I became aware of you because of Dark Shadows. And evidently, I was listening to one of your interviews, and it was a total surprise for you when you got the role.
What, doing the show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's even a bigger surprise is the popularity and the staying power and the fact that, oh, gosh, I guess 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you realized, you know what, this is this show is really ahead of its time. And, excuse me, I beg your pardon. The thing that amazes me when I go into casting offices or even today, people said, oh, my God, my father, my mother, you know, they all watched Dark Shadows. I've got the tapes at home. So, I mean, there's something to be said about it. I don't know what it was that had the staying power. But it's lasted for 50 years, and you know, when you think about it and how it was produced and the people behind it and the space that we worked in, I mean, it was quite an experience. And I almost was actually turned it down and go off to Germany to play guitar with a band, but you know, my agent was just adamant that I do it, so I did it.
I'm one of those people who ran home from school to watch it. And the production values, you didn't have a budget. You didn't have special effects. All you had was excellent writers and a great cast and crew who were very talented. And
Yeah, the writers were wonderful. You know, Sam was great. Sam Hall was wonderful.
And that is what made the show great. But I've told other members of your cast that I've met, I owe some of who I am as a writer to you, because you showed me what quality is and where the gold standard is. And that's what inspired me to, you know, for my love of cliffhangers. You know, I used to, you know, pray for Monday to come to find out what happened. It took me 30 years and watching the reruns on the Sci-Fi Channel to find out what happened to Adam, because there were no flashbacks. Once you finished with the story, you're done.
Yep. Or they brought you back with something else, you know.
Right.
You know, I was killed by David Selby kills me, and you know, I was. They said, you know, you're going to be gone for a week or two, and then we've got this other character that we want you to come back and play that's close to Gerard. So, but that never materialized because it's showing off the air.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because.
Well, it had its time. I think, it is unfortunate. So you always want it to keep going, but, you know, it is what it is, and that's the nature of the beast, you know.
What would you like to do again? If you could do anything in your career or in your personal life, what would you like to do again?
Well, I would like to have, I don't regret this. I would like to have always been a photojournalist. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, I've always, you know, since I was about 8 years old, I've always loved photography, and I've you know, the other, I've always admired photojournalism enormously. And so I think that if I ever had to do it over again, that's where I would put my energies. I have no regrets for the career. I think I've had a really remarkable career, and it's had its fills of ups and downs, of course, like we all have. I love show business. I love the film world. I love theater. You know, I don't have any regrets about it at all. I just, you know, and now I'm able to do both. So I'm perfectly happy in that regard.
Okay. What'd you change?
What would I change? Boom, boom, boom. My bank account.
Okay.
I'll change my bank account any day. No, I don't know. What would I change? I think if I had taken acting a little more seriously, I think I would have changed that. I think that I would have changed. When I was a younger actor, I was very, very lucky and extraordinarily fortunate to be where I was when I was. And out of that came extraordinary opportunities. And I think if I'd stayed around and focused on the career far more than, you know, running off to Morocco or Europe or whatever, I think that, but, you know, would I change that? Probably not. I just, you know, I could have been a little bit more concentrated on a career, and I wasn't. I was more interested in getting out and seeing things and experiencing things and that kind of stuff. So,
but you can't work 24/7, and those adventures help make you who you were and more valuable.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. An actor.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when I went off to, you know, they had just lowered the curtain in the Soviet Union, and I went in by, you know, with myself, and I went to Poland and Russia and Czechoslovakia and East Berlin, and you know, I was 22 or 23, something like that, and I remember my agent saying, God, you can't, you know, come on, you know, you're doing Broadway, you're meeting Otto Preminger and John Huston, and you're just on the verge, you know, but I thought, you know, I really wanted to gain some life experience. I wanted to, to, you know, go off and do things. And so I just decided that's what I was going to do. So I did. And I don't regret it one bit. I think it, as you said, I think it helps you mature as a person. And, you know, so that's what I did.
Well, unless you've had some life experience, you can't bring that into your work. And without life
coming
out, and you'll have a flat, you won't be able to share those emotions.
Right.
If, I don't know where, you know, if you haven't been there, you can't show anybody.
You can't do it. No. So I think that the only thing I would have changed is a little bit more. I should have been more educated in the work than I was. And later on, I became very interested in it. So I made up for lost time, but that's about the only thing I would have changed.
What would you still like to do? If, you know, if I had a magic wand and I could grant you 3 wishes, what would you wish for?
Some camera equipment.
Okay.
I hate to sound like Pollyanna, but it's a pretty nice life right now. You know, it's very fulfilling. I'm very busy. I don't have any. I mean, I travel when I want to. The only thing I regret is that you know, you move on in life, and you know, you get older and you get more, you know, seasoned. And but as long as I'm able to put myself on stage, as long as I'm able to go in front of the camera or behind the camera shooting, you know, that's it. That's all that matters, you know. So,
okay.
you know, I don't have any big dreams.
Well, maybe some of my dreams are big enough to share with you.
Okay.
I've got some huge ones. I like 35 millimeters. But digital is where everybody's going. Which do you prefer?
I prefer 35 and medium format.
Okay.
I love digital. I love Photoshop. I love I just marvel at somebody actually comes up with these ideas. I think it's the future, and it's even more advanced. But I still love. I have a dark room in my bathroom that I convert. During the day, I'll get and turn it into a dark room, and I sit and work on prints. In fact, I just did it. I finished a print for a lady that donated on my journey. So I'm paying people in product. So
yeah.
You
did I believe it was an Indiegogo campaign for your first journey. Will you be doing that for the second?
No, I'm not. I think that was an incredible experience. The woman that was ahead of it, she was so encouraging and so the campaign was an enormous success.
Mm-hmm.
And I was because when I did it, I thought, oh God. Nobody's going to pay any attention to this. And next thing I know it, I'm like, oh, wow, this is really something. But I would like to finance my own venture.
Okay.
I love giving the perks away. I've got, several people, more than several, that want prints. So I think that's a nice trade-off, for what they've contributed, and very generously and very supportive. And people just stepped up, and I was really thrilled by it. So, but I don't want to do another one for a while. Maybe when it gets down to publishing the book, I might, do something like that, or to have a show, because the shows are very expensive to do.
Right.
So I might do something like that. But I just want to finance my own stuff.
When you get ready to publish, and if you need a typesetter, I can set the book up for you.
Okay. All right. We got a deal.
Okay. Great. And you're going to be doing the next journey in July and August, correct?
Yeah, I have a really interesting thing happening. I'm going to go back up to Montana, and I'm hanging out with the newfound friend who's a photographer, and I want to get into the ranches. I want to do... I was very interested in the cowboy, the present-day cowboy, and they had, along with the rodeo, they had a thing called the Ranch Rodeo, which was five ranches from all over Wyoming and Montana, and they competed, and it was really interesting. So I want to go up there and hang out with that and just kind of photograph them on the job. And then
okay.
I'm going to do the State Fair Rodeo, which is a professional rodeo, and I'm going to do that one. But then I'm going to get on a bus, and I'm going to Nebraska. And the reason I'm going to Nebraska is because, I'll cut the story short, but it's fascinating. There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. John Neihardt, who back in the 70s was on the Dick Cavett Show, and I happened to tune in, and he was a foremost authority on the Plains Indians, particularly the Ogallala Sioux.
Okay.
And he wrote a book called The Black Elk Speaks, which is a Bible for my generation. It was just everybody was reading it. That and the I Ching. So anyway, it turns out I was talking to my agent. This is many years ago, and he kind of smiled and he said, "Well, you'll be interested in this." And he handed me a manuscript written by Neihardt, because he was representing Dr. Neihardt and trying to get some of his stories on film.
Okay.
And I read the book, and it's a rites of passage of a Lakota warrior. And going into manhood, and it's just riddled with imagery and visions. It's beautifully run. So I've had this book for close to 40 years, and so just the manuscript. And I called the Neihardt Foundation, and they just came unglued, and they said, "We have been, we published the book under a different title because we didn't have the original." And I said, "Well, I have the original." And they said, "Oh, my God." They were thrilled. So on August 2nd, they're having their 50th anniversary of the foundation. And the family's going to be there. And it's going to be quite a little party for them. And I'm going to go there and present the manuscript to them. And then I'll do a photo session with the family and the book. And I'm sure there'll be Native Americans there and all of that, because he was he knew Sitting Bull, by the way, and he knew Crazy Horse. So, you know, there's a lot of history there. So I'm going to photograph that and present the book, and then I'm going to get on a bus. And I'll either go on to New York or probably back to L.A. It depends on where, what the time is. So,
yeah. Have you ever considered photographing the wild horses, because they are so important to the city?
Yeah, it's I have a friend of mine who's who's very high on me to photograph horses. There's a book called Equus that's out.
Mm-hmm.
That it's really one of the most gorgeous books I've ever seen on horses. But I'm doing the horses and the people surrounding them. So there's going to be all sorts of, you know, there are going to be Gymkhanas and the English riders and Western and kids. And I mean, I'm going to do a whole expose on horse people. And that's what I'm going to do. There have been so many books on the horses and the wild horses, of course, the Mustang and all that, that have been photographed till the cows come home. So I'm doing a little different approach to it.
Okay. James, the half hour has gone by.
Wow.
Do a minute of shameless self-promotion. What do you want people to know about you, and how can they reach you? For those
you
who
can reach
rent.
Me, they can go to jamesstormphotography.com, www.jamesstormphotography.com. They can reach me through Dark Shadows. They can reach me on my email if they want, jvstorm1@yahoo.com. I don't give out my phone number because that's crazy. But that's what I'm doing. And, you know, just, I'll always post what I'm doing and where I am with my work. And, you know, I have to say that it's the greatest group of people and fans. And I'm really fortunate. I'm very blessed that they're in my life, and I've met some extraordinary people along this journey with Dark Shadows. And, it's just been a wonderful, and I can't wait for the 50th anniversary.
I'm going to try to be there.
Well, don't try. Just be there.
Okay. I will be there.
Be there. Okay. Don't say I'm going to try. When you say try, it means you're not going to make it. You've got to be there.
I will be
there.
You've
got to come. We've got to meet and say hello.
Yes. And as always, I will be calling you after the show. And now I'm going to have this famous person by the name of James Storm sing us out with Who Do You Love? And James, I'll be talking to you in a few.
Okay. Wonderful. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Red light, green light around the town. Spied a penny on the ground. I met a friend I've never known, walking down Rocky Road. Red, green, Rocky Road. Find a mate in grace. Tell me what do you see. Tell me who. My soda crack. Does your mama, she charge the back? If your mama, she charge the back, look good, took my soda crack. Red, green, Rocky Road. Dominating green. Tell me, what do you see? Tell me, who do you know? See that bird up in the sky, it on the run, he just flying, it's green, Rocky Road. I'm bleeding green, tell me what do you see, tell me who do you know. Thank you. feathers flying in green rocky roads. Come and in, tell me what do you see, tell me who. Light green round the town, spotted a penny on the ground. I met a friend I've never known, walking down the rocky road.